Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Right, we're okay. Recording.
Recording, everybody. Hello, hello.
What up, what up?
Welcome to Two Black Girls, One Rose. Girl, what you watching?
Yes, where we spill the tea on what we're currently watching on TV. I'm Natasha.
And I'm Justine.
And today I will be telling you all about Quiet on the Set.
Yikes.
The Nickelodeon docuseries,
which is
real creepy.
Yeah.
Also, Rye Lane, a cute little new rom-com I watched on Hulu, mm-hmm. and Summer House, the mm-hmm. white people one.
White one, yes.
Mm-hmm. What about you, friend? What you been watching?
So, I will be telling you about the J-Lo musical.
My God, musical. I forgot you watched it. Oh, God. Musical, light on musical.
yeah, light on music, really.
Okay.
I did not watch the documentary that was accompanied with it.
Yeah, it's not the same thing?
No, they're different.
Oh my gosh. She put out two visuals?
Like the making of. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
She's unhinged, bro. She's unhinged.
I thought it was all in one. Mm-mm. Oh no.
Nope.
Okay.
Mm-mm.
Oh, J-Lo.
So I just watched the finished project, so I'll tell you about that.
Okay.
And then I indulged myself in two episodes of the Gerard Carmichael Show.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is that on Netflix?
Know about that. What
is
it's that? It's on HBO.
Oh, it's stand-up? What is it?
I'll tell you.
Oh, mm-hmm. Lord. Okay.
It's the Gerard Carmichael reality show is what it's called.
Oh, interesting. I don't know too much about that young man, so I'm curious.
Me either. I had to look him up after this because I was like, the fuck is this? So I'll tell you all about it.
All righty.
Yeah.
So before we dive into our shows, a couple things we got to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Zendaya has a double Vogue cover.
Double cover. Only She's certain on... people get to do this. Mm-hmm. It's very exciting.
Very exciting. She's on the cover of US Vogue and British Vogue. So we're going to talk about the spread, the fashions, and some of the highlights from her interview.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to tell me all about women's basketball because I know that is
happening.
I know March Madness is a thing, but I that's all that I know.
Yeah, I'll tell you about it. Yeah.
Thank you. If you want to listen to this episode ad-free with our juicy pre-show hot takes on Zendaya and women's basketball, join the Rose Garden over at Patreon. On Patreon, you can also watch us on video. You can see my burnt ass nose.
No,
right now.
Stop. The lighting is covering you.
I know. I see the glare. Like,
yeah,
the
that's,
glare
why sitting. That's why I was like, no, don't change it. It's fine.
You can watch us on video. Head to patreon.com/number2blackgirls1rose. Try the Patreon membership with a 7-day free trial. Shout out to the Rose Garden. Love you. Love you guys.
Mm-hmm.
So for those who don't know, Quiet on the Set, it is a 4 or 5 part docuseries.
Four?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Okay. 4 or 5 part docuseries on, I want to say,
it was ID? On the ID network.
Yes, yeah. Investigation mm-hmm. Discovery.
Good for them. Woo! Shit.
Oof. That my household alone keeps that afloat because we watch everything on that network. My dad, my mom, we're all addicted. We love it. So, but you could find it on Max also. I just realized that you can also download or watch it streaming on Max. But anyways, it covers the dark side of kids' TV, basically, and specifically centers on Nickelodeon. It depicts the rise of Dan Schneider, who was like the big showrunner at Nickelodeon. If you saw his face, you would even recognize him because he used to appear in all the shows, all that. Amanda Show, he used to always be like pop in or whatever. But his rise and just the like very hostile work environment that he created. So it was really interesting to watch, just like a walk down memory lane. Like, you know, they talk a lot about all that. All that was like the kids' SNL and just how talented these kids were. These kids were fucking hilarious. Yo,
I can watch it now.
Me too.
Yeah.
We were hooting and hollering, laughing down to Keenan and Kel and all the rest of them. And so, yeah, on our side, we're seeing just a fun place for kids, Nickelodeon. The dark side was the women in the writer's room being just severely underpaid, dealing with just crazy misogynistic culture cultivated by Dan. Them having to just deal with like just sexual harassment on the daily. And they're interviewing all of the women like in the damn documentary.
Nice. Good.
Weird sexual shit that he would make them do just for laughs.
Yeah, but a lot of foot stuff.
A lot of foot stuff.
Yeah.
And then what was also very disturbing was how much they wrote inappropriate things into the show. The
comedy. Yeah.
Into the comedy that these kids are acting.
Yeah.
And they played a lot of footage back that watching now, you're like, how did I not see what I was seeing? Like, lot of like ejaculation jokes. A lot.
Yeah. Because we were like, kids. We didn't know what that meant. Yeah.
Had no idea.
Yeah.
But so many things squirting all over the place. Mm-hmm. A lot of weird stuff in hot tubs. A lot of weird like phallus shaped things. Just riddled throughout all that. So fucking weird. And a lot of the women writers who are in the show talking about just... It was just known. It wasn't like by accident. It was Dan purposely putting it into the show.
That is so fucking disgusting.
Disgusting.
He's so gross.
Yeah, so gross.
And he's but not in jail either. He's like walking around LA.
Walking around. Like, yep. Just out and about. Oof. But his whole defense is he really had free reign. They let him do anything because the shows are making so much money. So his defense, even in the doc, he wasn't in the documentary, but they got, you know, they reached out to him for quotes or whatever. You know, the things that we wrote were seen by multiple, you know, were passed through multiple editors, multiple stakeholders, blase, blah. So he can always deflect, but it just shows you like the culture of, he could do whatever he want, basically.
Yeah.
How that place was ran.
Yeah.
So that was just weird. And then the Amanda Show, Amanda Bynes. I know.
Sometimes I see her on TikTok and I want to cry. I want
to cry when I look
at her. Yo, she was homeless like 3 months ago, bro. Oh my God.
So they do a lot on the Amanda Show because she was that bitch. Like she was.
Oh, yeah.
Huge. She had her own show.
Mm-hmm.
She was like 11 or
12? Yeah, she was really young. Yeah.
She was really young, and that bitch was hilarious. Mm-hmm. Like, and a hard worker. Like, she was acting in all of the sketches. It was crazy. She was collaborating on a lot of the stuff. And she had a very close relationship with Dan Schneider, of course. She has come out since too and has said, you know, she hasn't watched the documentary and she's like, I didn't have the same experience as those kids. Like, just totally saying that she's not part of it.
Really?
She doesn't understand, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, he was just very unusually close to her. So even when she was transitioning from being a child actor into, like, teen, remember she was doing, like,
She's
the Man.
Yeah. And the President movie and all that.
Yes. Yeah. All those great movies she did when she was a teenager. He was like very lecherous on her career. Almost like, I found her. I'm in control of her. Like, in control of her career. You know?
Right.
And so even when she was like trying to transition to do different roles or different gigs, he was always just like there, like trying to like leech off of her in her career. Mm. At one point, he was trying to help her divorce her parents.
Legal emancipation. No.
Such a LA Hollywood thing. Like a
lot of actors
have tried to emancipate themselves. And he was just so overly involved in a very inappropriate way, basically. But yeah, no, thankfully, no like weird sex stuff that we know of.
Yeah.
His thing was really just like a hostile environment, just being like wildly inappropriate. So yeah, the Amanda part was really sad. Just like watching back these clips of the Amanda show. I used to love that show.
Me too.
Oh my God. And just seeing where she went, like her career was, she literally just like crashed and burned when she was at her peak. And a lot of mental, you know, she has severe, like mental health issues, and she was under conservatorship with her parents for a long while. And now when you see her, she just looks almost totally unrecognizable. Now the weird shit, the weird sex shit. So there was a production assistant on the set of Nickelodeon, I don't know what show he worked on, who was a full-on pedophile.
What?
They found journals of his where he literally self-described himself a full-blown pedophile, like literally written into his journal.
What? Mm-hmm.
I'm a full-blown pedophile. You know, I'm struggling every day being around the kids and keeping my urges to myself.
No!
Yes, girl. And eventually he was caught sending photos to, like, very
Ariana Grande.
Girl. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, my God. The stuff with Ariana Grande,
I know. It's nuts. Really disturbing. I know. I see why she's, like, gone. Like, she leaves for a long time. Mm-hmm. And then she comes back. Like,
right. So yeah, he was sending inappropriate photographs to a young child actress and just being disgusting. He thankfully was sentenced to 6 years in prison.
Fabulous.
So at least somebody went away.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Ariana Grande. Oh my God. So they would in the show, they showed a lot of footage of Ariana Grande on whatever show she was on. Doing weird shit.
With
phallic vegetables and a lot of squirting ejaculation stuff. Yeah. And it was so disturbing. So you're watching this young girl who has no idea really what she's doing.
Mm-mm.
And she's playing to an audience, us as kids watching, who also had no idea what the hell we were watching. But as an adult watching it, you're like, oh my God. This is a young girl in sexual positions.
Yes. And this was the 1 hour, I don't know about your parents, this was the 1 hour they could leave me and my brother in one room and just let us sit there and vibe.
Yeah.
And laugh. And just like,
yes.
And the music on all that was amazing too. So I had the soundtrack to all that. It was so good. They had live performances.
Yes, they did.
Oh my God. It was the best 90 minutes of the week. Like, just sitting there, me and my brother. And so my parents weren't usually watching it anyway.
Right,
they left us to watch you
exactly. Yeah, little do we know what the fuck we watching.
Horrible.
So yeah, it was very well done in that they interviewed a lot of young child actresses, people you fully recognize.
Yeah,
like, oh my God, that guy. Like, think people you hadn't seen or thought about in years, and just like where they are now. All of them have been to therapy, all of them have struggled with all kinds of different issues over the years. Substance abuse, just like severe anxiety is all stemming from their time as child actors and actresses. And then a huge part of the documentary was centered on Drake Bell. Do you remember Drake?
Yes.
From Drake and Josh.
Uh-huh.
He sat down in the he sat for the interview for the documentary, and we got his whole life story, because he's also been embroiled in some child endangerment shit. But seeing his past and what he's dealt with in terms of sexual abuse. So his parents are divorced. His dad was like his sole caretaker, taking him around to all the little auditions and stuff when he was a child actor. Somehow his mom got custody. And his dad used to be very on top of things, like not leaving him anywhere unattended, blah, blah, blah. Somehow the mom got custody. The dad, and he's literally in the interview, like crying his eyes out. He's like, the one thing I told her was never leave him unattended. Like, do not leave him in the care of, and he was talking specifically about this guy named Peck, I think, Greg Peck or something like that.
Okay.
Who was a dialogue coach, Josh Peck, sorry. Brian Peck. I'm mixing up all these things. He was like a dialogue coach at Nickelodeon, did a lot of work with the kids, but was like very creepy. He's a
fucking weirdo, a pedophile.
Weirdo, and had a real interest in Drake specifically.
Nasty. Okay.
So hold the mom, be careful around that man.
Mm-hmm.
The mom literally 2 seconds later after she gets custody, pretty much hands Drake over to that guy. Drake is living with him.
What?
Drake, yes. The man is driving him. She's like, oh, I'll do it. I'll drive him to the auditions. I'll accompany him this, because she didn't want to do it. So he's like, oh, yeah, I got it. Basically just handed over care of her son to this man.
Yeah.
Who ended up sexually abusing him for years. Oh, like, he was low-key, like, his sex toy slave.
Yeah.
And the timing of it is so disturbing, because it was around the time that Drake and Josh, the show, was like released and huge. Mm-hmm. That was like the darkest period of his life, where he was like fully being sexually abused by this man for like years. So just like seeing that was really sad, just seeing him on red carpets like with this plastered smile when he's literally being abused on the low. So it all got discovered because his girlfriend's mom kind of noticed some weird behavior and pulled him aside and was like, what is going on? And that's how it all kind of unraveled. But it was the first time him in an interview sitting and like talking about it. Drake is a very contentious person, because he later, very recently, I think in 2018, was arrested for child endangerment.
What?
You know, they say the victims become the victimizer. He was found to have an inappropriate relationship with a 15-year-old victim that he was like texting with and doing social media stuff, and then she came to visit him.
At
a concert that he was performing at or some shit. He was 31 years old at the time.
Oh no.
So what the hell is this? And he went on to plead guilty to all charges. He pled guilty. Was sentenced to 2 years of probation. Did a ton of community service. You know, contact the victim. And his whole thing was like, he didn't know that she was underage or some bullshit. I don't know, the usual bullshit that they always say.
You know, she's 15.
Come on, Drake. Like, what? His story is really sex. It's literally the story of a victim becoming a victimizer.
Right.
But his story of victim, his story as a victim is really like just so disturbing.
Yeah. Cause he's the victim of two different forms of abuse. Cause he's clearly neglected by his mother. Then also being the victim of sexual abuse from his alleged caretaker. Woo!
And then goes on to abuse himself.
Like, yeah. Right.
Really crazy. That was quiet on the set. Real disturbing.
I have a question for you, friend. As you were talking about this and all of these people in power and the fact that this is streamed on, you can stream this on HBO, and there's a bunch of HBO documentaries where they're exposing people of power as the ones who were causing all these damage to all these people. Do you think that HBO and the people over at Max really have to watch their fucking back, and that's why Sam Levinson is like fired immediately? Because even the hint of them being the harboring of that kind of person, they literally can't even take the risk anymore.
Yeah, I mean, they gotta start taking this shit seriously. Full docu-series are coming out on people. Like,
and we're all watching them, and they're the same thing happening over and over and over again.
Yeah, it's the same shit. Women are talking. Victims are talking. Like, no one is... We feel safer now to share our stories. So, these networks have to be real careful with who they align themselves with. Because before you know it, Netflix will be dropping a docuseries on HBO.
Exactly.
Exactly. So, it's interesting to see even the Sam Levinson, you know, stuff, just like how much leeway he was given with that show The Idol, which even I just know watching the show, I'm like, I just feel like abuse is happening on screen, like as I'm watching, like
How could it not? How could you make this and not abuse people? There's no way.
There's no way.
Yeah.
It just seems so, the line is so thin. Mm-hmm. And then all we've heard that's come out of Euphoria.
Yeah.
You know, that young man who said he was Death. High out of his mind, filming the show.
Yeah.
Angus Cloud died of overdose. Like, mm-hmm. So yeah, they gotta be real careful because they have, this wasn't a one time documentary. It was a 4-5 part documentary mm-hmm. series mm-hmm. about a host of people, not even just Dan
Schneider. Right.
With a lot of big people attached. A lot of big people were in this, you know? So yeah. Mm. So that's that. If you want to watch it, I gave you all the full
rundown. That's tough. Good, but
yeah. What about you, friend? Bring us back up, please.
Speaking of abuse.
Oh God.
Let's talk about Jennifer Lopez.
Oh jeez, okay. What possessed you to actually want to sit down and do this?
It's the same thing that possessed me to watch Mea Culpa. It's the same thing.
Okay.
A good laugh. Yeah.
Okay.
So this is 66 minutes of inside Jennifer Lopez's brain. This is gonna be a quick one. I watched it, and the first thing you see is her at a factory, and she's mm-hmm. trying to fix a broken heart mm-hmm. through song and dance. And so you see her dancing to one of her songs. All of her songs sound suspiciously alike. Also, I can't tell you the name of a single one. Oh, and then she goes back to her home, which is a glass house where she is being verbally and physically abused by her very young boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And there's several dancers also who live in this glass house. And I still, at this point, Natasha, do not know if I'm supposed to think if this is real life or if this is just a fantasy. I still don't know.
Like, you're saying if this is depicting, like, is this like autobiographical, like depicting her life?
Yeah. Is that what you're saying? Yeah. And also, like, the scene itself mm-hmm. is very surreal. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But also, I'm supposed to like take it seriously because she is so serious and they are physically abusing themselves, like each other.
Yeah.
So I don't know where I'm supposed to
be. Like the tone. The tone is off. You don't know what to do.
I don't know what to do
with my hands as I'm watching this. Yeah.
Yeah. And then she moves into having friends and getting married 3 times throughout the film. She has 3 different weddings throughout the film where all of her friends stand up and they say their different speeches. Now, let me tell you something, Natasha, that really burned my biscuits during this film. Okay. Mm-hmm. Not one of her friends who you see frequently throughout the film have a name. All of them are like the empathizer, the therapist, the this, the that.
Okay. Like different characters or archetypes of people.
Yeah. Yeah. Differently. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. Archetypes of like personalities or whatever. The only people who have a name, meanwhile, Fat Joe is her therapist. He easily could have been Fat Joe. Anyway, the only people who have a name are Jennifer, mm-hmm. named Jennifer.
Okay.
And Fluffy, her in the middle of the film emotional support dog, which is one of my least favorite characters. A surprise emotional support dog is my least favorite thing. Where did the dog come from? The dog didn't start here. Where did the dog live before this? Right. The dog just appeared in the house.
Oh, God.
Not only is this a surprise emotional support dog, mm-hmm. this dog is named Fluffy and is a short-haired breed. Why is the dog named Fluffy with short hair? This is a basset hound. What you talking about, Fluffy?
Oh, God.
So that was lazy as shit. And I just didn't know. I didn't know what I was supposed to take away from this film. She's going throughout all these weddings. She's going to therapy. She says that she's addicted to love. Mm-hmm. She thinks she's addicted to sex. Oh. She is still like going on and on and on about how she just like is a lover girl for her whole life. Mm-hmm. Her friends are trying to cure her of being a lover girl. And then at the very end, I believe the heart in the factory is fixed. I don't know how we got back to the factory. And then it was over.
So, okay. So I'm looking up on her Wikipedia now because she's been married 3 times. So I guess this is...
Engaged 5, I think, though.
Engaged 5 times?
I think 5. Yeah, because she was engaged to Ben twice.
Yeah, this is her. She's been married and divorced 3 times. This is her 4th marriage.
Jesus Christ.
But they were engaged back in.
They were. Oh, months? Yeah. No, they were engaged way back. He got her a pink ring and a green ring. I remember.
Oh, wow.
I remember. Yeah.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. I'm even looking at these timelines. So she, Chris Judd, her second. Oh, husband,
Chris.
Chris, I know. Was he the backup dancer or something?
Yeah, sure was.
Divorced him in 2003, married Mark Anthony in 2004.
2004. Yeah.
When was Ben? Ben, and okay, she divorced Mark Anthony 2014.
Uh-huh.
So Ben Affleck came after that?
He must have been after that. And then they broke up.
And then she was dating A-Rod and dated a bunch of other people.
Yeah, you'd probably have to go to Ben's Wikipedia to get that one.
To see what that was.
Yeah.
Oh, he was married too. Okay.
He was married to Jennifer Garner. Right. There's 2 Jennifer Afflecks walking around. We can never forget this. I hate it.
He married her, Garner, 2005, divorced 2018.
Oh, okay.
So, I don't know.
Maybe it was funky. Before Chris then. I don't know.
Maybe before Chris and then again after, or maybe during. Who knows?
Most likely. I'm assuming during.
Oh my God. So, okay, I'm trying to like piece together the story. Her thesis of her being addicted to love, I see that.
Yeah, me too.
I can imagine being married and divorced 3 different times.
Imagine inviting people.
Oh, you got a girl. Send me the card. I'm not going to another one. You got 2. You got 2 goes.
You got 2.
You get 2.
Yeah.
I'm not showing up to the 3rd.
Yeah.
And the 4th, please. Just send me the little magnet of you on your honeymoon. But that's a lot.
Yeah.
So imagine being her friend even.
That's exactly what the perspective was.
It was like trying to help cure and talk her friend off the ledge of another marriage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Oof, Lord.
Yeah.
Interesting. The concept is interesting to me. The idea
of
her in particular, that aspect of Jennifer Lopez is interesting. The fact that she's like been married so many times.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I've only heard just like jokes about this.
It was a joke. For some reason, she got Kiki Palmer, Neil deGrasse Tyson, Jane Fonda.
Yeah,
all of those people were playing the star signs because astrology was also a large theme.
Astrology.
Don't know why. None of the songs were about astrology, I don't think. This was also supposed to sell an album. That was supposed to sell a tour.
Yeah.
Like, she was supposed to do all these things with this. She was supposed to be Beyonce Formation Tour with this Lemonade-esque film.
Right. Yeah. Oh, man.
The problem is, you knew that Beyonce was talking about her real life, and she also was in real life situations. She wasn't in a fake glass house made of CGI. Mm. So, that helps.
Oh, Lord.
So, yeah. And Beyonce is also a good singer. So.
Yeah, that's different, too.
That's also different as well.
It's so tough when the bar is Beyonce, though. Like, it's so
that's why
tough.
You can't reach for
that's
it.
That's why you can't. That's what I'm saying. Like,
you don't see Adele trying to do no shit like this.
Not trying to do no visual album.
No.
All this and that. Like, just leave that for the queen.
Yep.
And J-Lo, as I keep saying, go and act. I will watch you till you are... Because she's already in her 50s. Looking good, still in these rom-coms. I will watch them all day. I will buy the ticket. I didn't need none of this. I need this visual album. I need this document. The document. I'm astonished there's a documentary as well as this musical film. The album and the tour. It's just a lot. It just seems like a lot of money that just is.
$20 million she spent to make this.
Yeah. Oh, God. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No.
But they canceled rap shit. But anyway.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, friend, for taking one for the team.
You're welcome.
Oh my God. Let's see.
You can tell us about Rye Lane?
Yes, Rye Lane. Okay. It's hard to find a rom-com these days.
Yeah.
Like, without going back and just watching an old one that you've already seen. But I found a really good one. It's really cute. It's a British rom-com on Hulu.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Rye Lane. It's only 82 minutes long. So, dumb short.
Yeah.
So anybody can watch this. Mm. But it's black on black on black. It's a black women director. So it's her feature directorial debut. Screenplay is by a black actor turned screenwriter. Mm. It premiered at Sundance this last January. The lead actress, Vivian Opara, gorgeous, most beautiful lips ever. Mm. She was nominated for a BAFTA for Best Actress. Mm. which is really impressive because this is an 82-minute rom-com from a no-name director. And the lead was nominated for a BAFTA for Best Actress.
Wow.
Like, not for nothing. That's wild. Even just comedies in general being nominated in Best Actress categories.
Yeah,
really,
true.
Their actor categories is sometimes tough.
Yeah.
But anyways, it's set in South London, which I don't really know much about London, but South London is like the Harlem. London, I guess. Okay. And yeah, I don't know too much about London, so I feel like I didn't really appreciate the setting as much, but the director said this is like her love letter to South London. So if you're like, if you're British listening to this, or if you love London or UK stuff, then I think you might appreciate.
Yeah.
Yeah, you studied Rod Luddy, you get this.
Yeah.
But it's really cute. It follows two strangers who have a chance encounter after having both been through recent breakups. Mm-hmm. And then they meet, they spend the day together getting to know each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really cute. It's funny. It's kooky. Nice. The director, her name is Rain Allen Miller. She has like a very definitive style.
Okay.
That is like stylistically, the film is very like bright and bubbly and poppy.
Oh.
And, like, really fun to watch. And I'm not used to seeing that kooky directorial style featuring Black actors.
Or London.
Or in London as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
But particularly, like, when I see that, I think, like, Emma Stone, like, hopping around. Like, you know, you think about those.
Yeah, Emily in Paris and all the rest
of
that.
Emily in Paris. Yeah.
Okay,
but to see that kind of fun, bright style featuring these, like, very dark-skinned actors was just fun. Like, it just a nice treat. I haven't seen this in a while, I guess.
Hmm.
But yeah, it's really funny. The opening scene is hilarious. They're like in this gender neutral bathroom and the lead girl, she overhears this boo hoo hoo crying in the stall. And it's Dom, the lead guy, who is like trying to be crying, but he's like bawling over his breakup. And it's just a cute start. And then you find out that they're at this like ridiculous modern art exhibit with these like ridiculous modern, you know, you go to modern art.
Modern art. I hate it. Oh my God.
Just, what are you looking at? Like, what is this?
No one's going to tell you.
No one.
Oh my God. They're so proud of it. It's like four lines on a piece of paper. Oh my God.
So they're at this like crazy exhibit. And then, you know, you meet them again, and then you learn about his breakup from his like trifling ass girlfriend, and then her breakup from her like narcissistic boyfriend.
Oh,
and then the whole movie is just them together, like getting to know each other and like a little adventure that they
cute.
So yeah, it's very cute, really sweet. It's very almost a little nostalgic, honestly. When I was watching it, I was like, I remember being young and just like very open, like being in the company of a stranger.
Okay. Yes. You know? Yeah. You're just willing to go along with
just
somebody who
along.
You met. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Because I mean, I you know me. I'm not talking to nobody.
I know. Now like, you are done.
I'm done.
The moment that girl said "I do," she said, "Oh no, I'm finished." Not even "I do." Before that.
Before that. You know, no new friends. I've been saying that for a very long time.
So long.
I'm just very closed off in that way. I, you know, like, love people when I'm ready, but generally I like to keep to myself. But I remember that time when I was young and just out here, like, oh my God, who are you? Let's go. Like, just going around for the day. And that was basically the movie. It's just them kind of like out and about for the day. It's really, really cute. I highly recommend it.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I have another question for you, friend, as a film and television buff.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think, and I really hope this is true, with the production direction that people are going, and by people I mean Reese Witherspoon, are going with turning very famous recent books into film, television, etc. Do you think with this influx of Black romance, 7 Days in June, the lady that Les was talking about, Ryan, I want to say she's Ryan April. April Ryan is a famous journalist and reporter. I am conflating the two people. I don't know why I'm doing that. But I think she's Ryan something.
Okay.
With all these famous Black romance series that are coming out. Do you think we're in 2026 and on, we're going to have some?
I hope so. Rom-coms? I'm glad you brought that up. I really hope so, because there's nothing better than when it's done really well. And a lot of times they are done well. An adaptation. book to screen, book to series, book to movie adaptation.
Yep.
And there have been there's a huge influx, as Les educated us on our last episode. You should go check it out. Les from Bounce Black Girl, shout out. A lot of Black female romance novels being written, and I would love to see more of them turned into movies or whatever, because rom-com as a genre has dried up.
And I think the resurgence of these romantic books, whether they be straight up smut books or romantic books, I think they're gonna bring it back. I think we're gonna have to wait a while, right? I would say 26-27, right?
Yeah, it's gonna be a hot minute. But yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah, I'm excited for Issa Rae to like take these on.
Yeah, scoop up some of these.
Because she, what was that movie she did? The Paperweight or some shit with Lakeith? The
Photograph.
So whack. Oh my God, it was so boring.
It was kind of boring.
Yeah, it was boring. But I'm excited for her production, hooray, to take on 7 Days in June.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
So, yeah, that's a great little prediction. Heard it here first, guys.
Yeah,
We'll see.
Yep.
We'll see what's going down in 2026.
Yeah.
But yeah, check out Ride Lane on Hulu. It's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what else you got for him?
Well, friend, you know, I watched the Gerard Carmichael show. This is going to be another short one. Okay. The Gerard Carmichael reality show, excuse me. So this is a show that I am 100% sure is directed, scripted, all of that stuff, right? Okay. It's shot in a very, he calls it his Truman Show. He's trying to Truman Show himself.
Oh, interesting.
And the first scene you see is him professing his love to Tyler, the Creator. To which Tyler says, "Oh my God, the tacos are here. Room service is here. I was starving," and starts eating the tacos. So he starts off embarrassing himself in the film.
And this is supposed to be reality. Like,
yes.
Is it a mockumentary or is it?
That's what it seems like. A mockumentary. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And so you just see this very awkward scene with the two of them. And then Gerard goes to the Emmys. And intermittently throughout the film, he's seemingly doing a stand-up comedian show where in all of the scenes, he's flaunting wealth like pretty openly, which I thought was pretty fun. Okay. And, you know, he's gay. He came out in 2017 or something like that. He came out like really late in life.
I feel like I remember this. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And so it's kind of that. It's kind of his him exploring his, because in his romantic life, he's so young because he came out so late.
Oh, right. Yeah. He's 37.
Yeah. Yeah. And he came out when he was like 30. So.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Even older, because it says here he came out in 2022.
2022? Oh, that 2022. Must have been to us.
He was like 35.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. But as you, he maybe came out in his own private life before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's talking to this audience. And the problem is, Sam Sanders said this too. The problem is he's not funny.
Oh.
This guy's not funny. And he's so unfunny, I had to look up if he started as a comedian. And he did. He started up as a stand-up comedian.
I don't know if I've seen his comedy before. I know this face. I know his name, obviously.
Absolutely.
I don't know if I've watched anything with him. Okay.
He hosted the Golden Globes 1 year. Like he.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Like he's.
Oh, he's legit.
Yeah.
Okay. Damn.
I don't know how, because he's not very funny. And because he's not funny and proclaims himself to be a stand-up comedian with a microphone and a spotlight, I don't care about what he's doing. So this reality show is just null because he's not funny and I don't care.
I mean, yeah.
And
he's
so,
not funny. That already kills it. Yeah. Like, what am I watching?
And then at the end of episode one, he has somebody over from Grindr, a white man, and they get to going and he is sucking this man's toes. Yes, girl. Yes, ma'am.
I don't want to watch toes.
Me either.
From anybody.
From anyone.
I don't do feet. Oh, no.
And then in the second episode, he becomes very open about the race play that he enjoys with his white boyfriend, which is also problematic. Oh, yeah.
Race. Didn't we just talk about this with what's his, with
Michael?
We talked about slave play.
Oh, my God. We were.
God. Wait, yeah. So what? He talks about doing that with his
white boyfriend? In the stadium, he's like, or not stadium, excuse me, in the room, he's like, oh yeah, like a little race play. And then he, at the very end of the episode, in a different scene with the same set, he said that he likened, this is apparently a joke, he likened his relationship to his boyfriend because his boyfriend reads so much and he's purchased so many books that he is like the slave and the master's son. Ba-dum-bum-tsh.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Let's not, Gerard. Gerard, whatever his name is.
And you know what's also pretty disturbing about this? And this is something I notice a lot. And I think if you're not in this body, you don't notice. He has all of his friends that he introduces us to, all of them are lovely, vivacious, like plus size black women who know what they're doing and know what they're talking about. And when he's speaking with them, he's asking them for advice. They're giving him guidance. And then he makes extremely questionable decisions and jokes the way that he does. So that also gives me pause. How do you have all these friends with all this sense and you don't take none of their advice?
Right.
You weirdo. He's a weirdo.
Because he doesn't care. He's trying to get a laugh, I guess. He doesn't care.
I guess. From whoever. From an audience that I don't know who they are.
I was about to say, who's the audience? Because if you don't find him funny, is he a black comic for a white audience?
That's what I think. That's why I don't find him funny. He sounds like a comic in Boston who hasn't made it yet, who's using race as a way to make the people in Boston laugh.
Laugh. Oh, God.
But he's black and gay. Yeah. And so he's a black gay body, and I'm not laughing because isn't funny.
Yeah, yeah. Like, and you could feel the like cheapness of the joke because you know that there's probably a white person that's laughing.
That's laughing.
Which was the whole issue with slave play that we were talking about with Mike Arsenault.
Right.
It's like the white people were laughing, but we were like, what the fuck are we watching? Like, what is this?
Yeah.
Oh
yeah, so that's just Gerard Carmichael show. People are very upset because this is on the heels of Rap Shit and Black Lady Sketch Show being pulled from the air, and they're like, they pulled the black budget for this.
They canceled Black Lady Sketch.
I think it's gone. I think so.
Oh my God,
let me double check.
What?
I think it's done.
Max just went to town. They just went to town. Just fucking axed everything. Why can't that get? Yeah, it got canceled, girl.
Yeah, yeah. But like this bullshit in Harlem is like still going. Like how?
No. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Damn. All right. Yeah. Well, I will definitely never be watching that.
No, don't watch it. I know too much about this man.
Yeah.
Now if I see him, I'm gonna be like, you suck toes, and you pretend you're a slave. God.
Weird. That's fucking weird. Let's not normalize this race play cosplay thing. It was weird in the slave play. Let's not keep talking about it. Let's pretend like that never happened. Let's not make this a thing, Gerard.
We gotta kink shame it.
Yeah, this
I'm not into
to be kink shamed.
But this needs to be kink shamed.
That one needs to be kink shamed. Sorry.
Yeah.
My God. Yikes. Okay. Summer House. I could talk about both.
Yes, I think we should talk about both, and real quickly, Potomac.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, Potomac. Okay. Yeah. So, let's start with Potomac, I guess.
Okay, yeah.
What's happening?
Nothing too notable. I know that Mia did not talk about her son's father live, which I'm very grateful for Karen for saying that she should not talk about her son's father father's identity live on a fucking Bravo reunion.
I know. Yeah. I was happy that Karen jumped in and was like, Andy, can we not?
Andy, please.
This child will have to watch this back at some point. Can we change gears? Yeah. Yeah, they talked about it way too much. It was very uncomfortable.
Yeah, it was gross. And then they talked about race a lot in a way that I thought was very refreshing.
A little better than the past.
I am very thankful for Dr. Wendy Osefo. For being as well. Up on that stage just completely deading Karen's, she's Karen? Very pretentious in the way that she talks Giselle? About all of them, but mainly Karen, because Karen said, we're the only franchise who could speak about this. Atlanta exists.
Right.
That's number one. And number two, no, you're not, because all of you sat there fucking silent last year when they talked about colorism.
Right.
And you don't talk about it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, no, you're not.
Yeah, I was very thankful for Wendy really trying to recenter back.
Yeah.
Because they bring up colorism, and then Giselle and Robin just start crying, and like, how can you? Giselle goes on and on. I went to Howard. I went to this. I'm AKA. Like,
you could still be colorist.
Her thank you. Yeah. Thank you. That don't mean nothing.
Nope.
And they constantly deflect. And Wendy's like, can we bring it back and actually finally talk about, like, have you ever examined why you keep getting accused?
Mm-hmm.
Why Candace was up in uproar saying these things? Mm-hmm. Like, can we get back to that? So we needed somebody with the vocabulary and the articulation to kind of like rein it in, because Andy can't do it.
No.
And Giselle and Robin just will deflect,
weaponize and deflect. Mm-hmm. And the fact that Robin was up there crying about how she has never been accused of these things before, and this is a first for her, she's never been on this territory before. And all of season one and two, Katie came after your ass calling you white. After you, like a mad woman.
Damn.
Because you went after her saying that she wasn't black enough.
Oh, right. That was the one who was half black, half white.
Yeah. And she's,
she had the white husband, and she's kind of like,
she's got a kid. She shouldn't be on TV. But when she was, there was some colorism that were going on that had to deal specifically with you.
Mm-hmm.
So
that
is a lie. Like, you're just up here lying. So this reunion was honestly the moment that we saw Robin get fired and we saw Candace quit.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. You saw it. Damn. And it's crazy. Even how Andy starts the reunion, he's like, can we get to some middle ground? Because he felt it too. Like, after this reunion, shit's going to get shaken up.
Yeah. Yep.
So come correct and let's try to get somewhere, or people going to be losing their jobs. But yeah, Robin had to go. That whole boo hoo hoo, I've never been called a colorist, was so wack.
That is not true.
And not true. Every season it comes up, and every season y'all are accused. That is not just pulled out of nowhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, there's people on the couch who have viable reasons for why they're saying those things, and they understand the seriousness of, as a black woman, calling another black woman colorist.
Right.
So, not for nothing. There's something I wanted to say. Giselle, I'm just so, I don't know if I'm going to watch Potomac anymore.
I hate her. Yeah. I really hate her. Yeah.
I really can't. And I just, the favor that she has with Andy is one of the most obvious that
I see across
all of the housewives.
I'd agree. Like,
what do you have on Andy that he allows you to just be up his asshole like this? I don't understand.
She must have caught him doing something.
Because
I don't know. I even saw a tweet that somebody was like, Pastor Jamal did a number on that lady. Because the way she is a cold-hearted bitch TV, she is cold as ice. And she used to be a first lady.
Yeah.
She's a mother to three daughters who seemingly really like her. Like, oh, man. She's so mean.
Very mean. When Candace was crying and she was just like, she cries for everything. Da, 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 da. Like, just
laughing
in her face. That obvious mean girl, mean woman behavior. Like, I don't like watching that.
Yeah.
I can watch a lot of stuff on this show, but her cold callousness, I don't like watching this.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know where I go from here with Potomac, but as long as Giselle's there, either. I can't do it.
Yeah, I can't do it either. Yeah.
Mm-mm. Even her little packages, like, she has a lot of stuff going on with her family, the daughters, the husband, her daughters, her father.
Mm-hmm.
but ain't nothing going on with her.
Nope. Nope. Jason is still out whatever. Yeah.
They had that bullshit little package about her and Jason. It was nothing. There was nothing in that package. There was nothing to show us.
Nope. They're acting. So, the two of those people are acting. And they fully not fuck each other at all.
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll see with Potomac.
I know. It's very upsetting because Potomac was the favorite until now, until this season.
The season was real bad. Yeah. Okay, Summer House.
Yes.
Let's talk about the blacks first.
Yeah, it's easy.
Yeah, it's real easy because not much is happening.
Nothing's happening, but we still have to watch. So we have to. These kinds of black people still get airtime.
Yes, exactly.
But
a lot of random bickering that is not really fun to watch. Summer and Shanice bickering about the worst dress.
Yeah.
Stupid. The new girl who I love. I love,
Noelle.
Oh my God, Noelle. I love her.
God.
I just could see her in just sat in confessionals all day and just watch that as a show.
Because she has a different personality than the rest of them.
Her accent, just the way she moves, she's hilarious. I love her. But her and Alex and their little conversation, their little weird whatever.
Whack, because he doesn't want to fuck with any of them. Why was
that
whack?
That should have been interesting.
It should have. You know why it should have been interesting? Noelle's not used to being on TV, so she doesn't know how to do this. The way she came at him and was like, do you know that I have feelings for you? Yeah. She shouldn't have said that. She should have said, I know you fuck Summer, but I want to fuck you too. So let's take these mic packs off and get into these bushes, my nigga. Like, you know what I mean? Like, she should have made it like a secretive backdoor romance type of situation. And she should have not like flat out asked him, do you, you know I like you? No, this isn't the fucking kindergarten, bitch. No.
It was very much a rookie mistake. So I'm like, there goes the whole storyline. Your whole plot line for the season is gone.
Yeah,
we should have been a push and pull little cat and mouse thing for the next 7 episodes, but now it's dead because he's weirded out by you. And then we end this last episode. Summer and Jordan are fighting, screaming at each other in the car. I don't even know what the fuck they're yelling about.
Me either.
But me like what? Either.
And we still don't have Phil. And I understand Preston's reservations around Phil.
Absolutely.
When they played it back, I was like, oh shit,
I remember that too. I was like, there's no way that Phil can come to this house with Preston because he was very on the highest of keys.
Already
was calling Preston soft. Like, there's no way. No way. That was even ridiculous to me that they were even proposing bringing Phil back into the house. I was like, what?
I was just like, yes, personality.
I know, drama would have came.
Yeah.
But I mean, that would have been ridiculous.
Yeah, but Mariah's on her way there. So excited about Mariah.
I'm excited about Mariah too. I was really sad that they let her go because she was like the most different looking and like.
And acting. She was a mom.
She's a mom, yes. Mm-hmm. She was more like boho kind of, you know, vibe. And so, yeah, I'm excited for that.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's
Mariah. That was it.
That's kind of it. Now, okay, Summer House, the Whites.
Tell me.
I'm loving this season.
Carl and Lindsay, tell me. What does she do now? She planted coke in his pillowcase?
I don't. God. I mean, she's a step away. She's really completely unhinged. But the reason why this season is so good, and I saw somebody on, some guy on TikTok, or on Reels, a TikTok reel, whatever, talking about it. This season is so good because there's the house is filled with couples. And that's when the show was good, when you're watching relationships.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So that's the one reason, and they're also finally, fans have been saying this for the longest time, they are finally filming their lives in New York, not just their weekends at the Hamptons. So they are sending cameras
home.
See,
that's the problem with the black one, too. Yeah.
Because they're just there for 2 weeks, and that's it.
Yeah, and like Summer and Alex fucked, and we don't know about it, and they broke up, and now it's like, it's so absent. Yeah, okay.
So now they're finally... You know, when they go home, you know, they go to the Hamptons on the weekends.
On the weekends.
You see them drive out, but now the cameras are following them back home, which is really cool. So we get to see some of that. So yeah, there's a lot happening this season. So Carl and Lindsay, I can start with them. They are, this is, they're engaged leading up to their wedding.
Why did you quote it? For all the audio listeners, she put it in air quotes automatically without even thinking.
I didn't even
bunny
think.
Ears. They're engaged. Okay.
They're engaged. They are in the months leading up to their wedding. They are having sex maybe once a month.
I saw that. Their sex Paige was like, we fuck way more. And he lives in North Carolina.
Yes! Like, what? When she revealed to the girls that they, like, do not have sex, ooh, they were disturbed. Like,
yeah, yeah.
And she kind of said,
what is the point of this?
What is the point? And she said it kind of flippantly, and they all were like, this is really bad, Lindsay. Like, I did not see, like, you guys are on death's door as a relationship. Yeah. That's not good at all. And I get it. Like, leading up to a marriage, me and Knight were fighting more than we've ever fought in our life in that year before. It's so stressful. But y'all shit is on some next level shit. Like,
You can't even find common ground in a moment.
Even
find
calm down. Yeah.
To, like, oh.
Right. To just be loving to each other. Right. Anything.
Yeah.
So they're fighting every episode. It's just a disaster. Lindsay is diabolical still. And this episode was crazy because, Kyle and Amanda got married two seasons ago.
Mm-hmm.
Carl was the officiant and best man for Kyle.
That doesn't even make sense.
Basically, that's one of his besties, obviously.
Right. Okay,
he married them, and that's his co-best man. Like, they run deep. Unfortunately, last summer, Kyle and Lindsay got in a fight. Kyle, they're both, like, borderline alcoholics, and so was on one and was, like, going off on Lindsay.
Oh.
They've kind of like mended things since then, but one thing that Lindsay can do is hold a grudge.
Oh,
so now Lindsay won't allow Carl to make Kyle a groomsman. So Carl asks Kyle to be his flower boy. One of three. So not even the flower boy.
I can't.
One of three.
I can't.
Just so beyond insulting. And so this last episode, everyone's learning and they're all like, what?
Yeah.
And they're looking at Kyle like, what are you going to do? And he's like, what can I do?
Yeah.
But it's like the most public demotion of a friend.
Right. Like,
such a public that guy officiated your wedding.
Yeah.
Now he's a flower boy at your, like,
that doesn't even, that's not even a job for him. That's a job for someone under five.
Yes, exactly. Like, what? So that's them, Carl and Lindsay and their foolishness. And then Sierra, really pretty black girl.
Yes, I love her Instagram.
Love her Insta, it's hilarious. She has a little boo thing in the house named West.
Oh.
First guy they've cast in a long time that people actually like. So one thing with Summer House, they've been scrambling to find guys.
Yeah, I'm sure. A lot of people are. It's rough.
Yeah, it's rough.
Yeah.
Because the girls are mainly, you know, Lindsay, Paige, Amanda. They've been there for years now.
Yeah.
Guys, there's only Kyle and Carl left. And then every season, they'd bring in some new guy that disappears the next season because they sucked.
Mm.
So West is the first guy ever that has come into Summer House and people actually like. And so him and Sierra have a little thing going. They're very cute. They're like going out on little dates in New York. Sierra previously dated Austin. Remember Austin from Southern Charmed?
Ew.
Yeah, real bad. So you know Paige is dating Craig from Southern Charmed.
He's a cutie. Yeah.
Austin is like his best friend, and at one point they were like doing a lot of overlap with Summer House, and during one of those overlap seasons, Sierra and Austin were like hooking up. Love Sierra. That decision gave me pause on her. Always.
Really?
I will always say. Because when I look at Austin, he looks like a blatant Trump supporter. He voted for Donald Trump.
Oh, God.
Just period. Ooh, I just tell.
Googled him. Oh, no.
You just look at him and know. Yeah. So why would I be dating this person? Like, I just don't. I never understood that decision. And she was like crying over him and like really liked him. Yeah. So anyways, that's her past. She's over it. She's like, fuck Austin. I can't believe myself.
Okay, good.
So now she's dating this West guy, another guy in the house. So it's like a pattern. She keeps finding somebody in this house.
Yeah.
So now she's just treading very lightly with West.
I think.
And West seems sweet.
He seems nice. Nothing has come out about him either, I don't think, right?
Nothing, not that I've seen, no.
Yeah.
But they had a little rift this last episode because he, you know, guys talking, he mentioned to Jesse, the new another new guy who sucks, mentioned to him that him and Sierra haven't hooked up yet. Like, they've only kissed, they haven't, like, had sex or anything like that.
I see.
Jesse, being messy, brought it up in front of Sierra. Like, heard you guys haven't had sex yet.
Ew! Gross.
It's just so whack. And yeah. So Sierra was like, what the fuck? Why are you talking about it with him? And now Wes is going to have to, like, defend himself a little bit. But I don't think he did anything wrong.
Yeah.
Jesse was just...
Yeah, that's Jesse being a messy bitch. Okay, yeah.
So Jesse, Danielle, Gabby Prescott, they're like the singles in the house. Mm-hmm. And honestly, they're kind of useless this season because it's all about the relationships and the couples.
Oh, man.
So this last episode, Gabby and Danielle weren't even there and I didn't even notice.
Damn.
I think they were, sometimes they have like weddings or like other commitments, so they're not there for weekend.
Okay.
And I like low-key didn't even like notice or care. Mm. Now Kyle and Amanda, really interesting. They are buying a house. We got to go on a home visit with them, which was cool.
Okay.
They looked at a $1.4 million house in Jersey.
I saw people defuting the house.
Defuting what?
The house and where it is and the listing. And people were really on that Zillow.
trying to figure out this house.
How the fuck they can afford a $1.7 million house. Yeah.
The house was gorgeous. I was like, oh my gosh, it's a dream. But I don't know these people's bank accounts. They give me... Amanda comes from wealth. Her parents, you know, are wealthy. Where they got married was literally in her childhood home's, like, backyard. Like,
oh, okay.
She comes from
And money. She had more than 8 people there?
A huge wedding. Yeah.
Okay.
She comes from wealth, whatever. So if anybody's helping to buy the house, probably her daddy.
Yeah.
Kyle, so they have this Lover Boy brand that is doing... pretty well.
Hard seltzers, but they sell more merch than they do seltzers.
But they sell a lot of merch.
Got it. Okay.
A lot of merch. But that merch kills.
Yeah.
I see shit all over the place. So seemingly successful business. Mm-hmm. But when I look at Kyle, I just see bankruptcy for some reason.
No, Natasha.
I don't know why.
You know what it is? It's because he's 40 years old with an American flag cowboy hat on.
Yeah.
That doesn't give financial stability to me.
It doesn't. Either. It doesn't.
Yeah.
So I'm just riding on Amanda and her daddy somehow being able to afford this house because I don't know if it's them.
Yeah.
But yeah, Kyle and Amanda, they're buying this house, blah, blah, blah. They have issues though. They bicker a lot and they bicker in front of everybody and everybody kind of clocks it, but everyone's like, it's just kind of Amanda. You know, they always. But no, we learned they have deep issues. They have deep seated issues.
Okay.
And so Amanda is ready to move out of the city. Mm-hmm. She's like ready to start having kids and wants to live that suburban life and is ready for that. Kyle doesn't want to leave the city yet.
Yes.
But when she tells everybody about this, they're all like, oh, how was the house tour? Like, how did it go? She's like, yeah, you know, we're looking for a place where I can go for, you know, when I need time or space, like a couple weeks, or go for like a month or so. And Paige is like, a month?
Paige in the long distance relationship is saying,
yes,
a month?
A month?
Oh my God.
So first of all, y'all need to get your story straight because that sounds crazy.
A month is so long, bro.
Hell, and just over the fucking river. Like, what, you're needing to escape him to go right over the river for a month? What is going on with y'all
that and you're feel like willing, you need that? You're willing to leave a man like that loose in New York?
So that's the other thing, that's their other issue. So Kyle's borderline alcoholic. I mean, he just call it is what
perfect
it is. The man's like 41. Yeah. He's rages every weekend at Summer House. He runs a very successful career, but you could tell he medicates and does things to help survive.
Got you. Okay.
You could just tell.
Yeah.
So in this last episode, he stayed out. I guess Carl did like a thing with all the groomsmen and all the the wedding party, whatever. And so Kyle was out till 4 a.m. And his thing is he be out and then he don't be calling nobody. He don't text Amanda and say, I'm here, I'm there. He has a history also of cheating on her while he's drunk.
Which is all the time.
Oh,
no.
And he also has a history of cheating on her whilst drunk and then the next morning not remembering. So people telling him, you made out with this girl, and he has to face Amanda and says, I don't remember because I blacked out. So that's like another level. And she married this dude.
At this point, it's not cheating.
I know.
It's just your arrangement.
This dude. So she's in her confessional talking about, you know, I've always loved Kyle for his socialness and he's very extroverted, different from me, helps bring me out. But I thought I was getting something good when I was marrying an older guy because, you know, he's in his early 40s. I figured he'd settle down at some point, slow down at some point. And that's not the case.
She sounds like homegirl who wrote the article.
the cut article. Yes. Can you imagine Crunch being out until 4 a.m. and doesn't call you?
Absolutely not. There's a work happy hour tonight. I'm like, nigga, you getting home for dinner or what?
Oh, God.
Or am I watching Rod Lane by myself?
Right. What am I doing? 4 a.m. and he is running the show. Your man who has a history, who has cheated on you prior. Crazy. They've gone to couples therapy for years on rebuilding their trust. And he has the audacity to ever slip up. And as she was saying, she's like, I can't sleep when he's not home.
Oh, my God. Girl, yes, you can. He's never home. Yes, you can. Oh, my God. I'm so tired of these girls. They need to develop their own boundaries. And you know what? If that boundary is that you spend a month in Summit, New Jersey.
That might be it.
Then that's it.
That might be it for her.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But they are just so dysfunctional.
Oh, my God. Ew.
It's nuts. And then Paige and Craig, you know, Paige is living her best life in New York City, totally unbothered, doing her. Craig is in South Carolina. Their issue is I think he's also a little older, and he's been ready to get engaged and married like 2-3 seasons ago.
I know. I see all the clips of them are him like, so are you ready? And she's like, what?
Same energy and everything. What? Like, so I don't know what. I love her though. Her confessionals are the best.
Yeah.
She's like my favorite person on the show.
Yeah. But, I like her hair a lot. Her haircut is really cute.
Her haircut's always very cute. But I don't know what's going to happen with them.
No.
They're a cute couple. But even this season, Craig said something like, he was talking to somebody and he said there's a high chance that they will break up.
What?
Because of being long distance and different, you know, seemingly on different pages or whatever. But Paige like addressed it, I think, in an interview and said like, well, he's not wrong. And she broke it down very like logically. She's like, we do have a high chance. I live in New York.
Yeah.
He's in South Carolina. Statistically, we have a high chance. Like, what do you want me to do? Like,
oh my God.
The way she talks about them is hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think it's also a protective front because it's like they're probably solid. They could be just like solid as a rock. Mm-hmm. And it's just like,
yeah, this could all be for show.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It could all be. But yeah, that's Summer House. It's a great time. I love the season.
Yeah. That's what I'm hearing.
It's really good. Yeah. But yeah, Martha's Vineyard, I just need them to...
First of all, we need somebody else of the LGBTQIA plus community.
I know.
It cannot only be Preston.
I know. That's a lot. That's
I would love a bisexual woman. I would love a bisexual man. I would love someone in there to vary it up. Because everybody having the same exact personality. Like Jordan talking about, oh my God, she made out with that guy in front of my doorman and it was so embarrassing. Bitch, get dick. I'm so tired of you. Get dick, Jasmine. Oh, I'm not drinking because, you know, that's not appropriate. Oh, that's not appropriate. I'm so tired of seeing these Jack and Jill ass motherfuckers on the television screen. Get me somebody with some personality. Get me somebody who likes sexy red.
Yeah.
Shit.
And we need some couples because even Jasmine, as much as we didn't like Silas, Jasmine and Silas, it was interesting watching them. Mm-hmm. This season is all singles. And or not singles, because Amir has a girlfriend, Nick has a girlfriend. Some of them have girlfriends who ain't in the house. Mm-hmm. So it's like, what am I? And I said last time, I was like, Martha's Vineyard, I feel like there's too many people. Like, they just have too many people. They have the same amount of people as Summer House Hamptons, I realize. But something about Martha's Vineyard just feels like a lot of extraneous people.
It does. It's because they don't have any varying personas.
Yeah.
Bria, Summer, and Shanice is like a little different because she has like natural hair and she proclaims to
Wild and free.
She proclaims to be wild and free. She's not.
Yeah. I don't like watching Shanice.
I don't like watching her either. It seems like the demise. It seems like a tornado.
It seems like she's in a spiral, yeah, right? Yeah. Something seems off. I'm not into it. But yeah, they got to tighten up the. They got to work again on this casting. Mm-hmm. And Amir, we know you got a girlfriend now. She want to come in the house? Well, we got to pay y'all because this him escaping to go talk on the phone with her is boring. I don't want to watch that.
Him not being black enough. He hasn't watched Baby Boy. Nigga, Baby Boy is on every 5 hours. It's
every day it is on BET.
Every day.
How have you not caught it yet?
Or TV One or BET Plus or TV One Central. Like, it is on something every day. What? Like,
oh, God.
So boring.
Yeah. But we have to keep watching.
We have to keep watching. And Mariah will be back.
And Mariah's coming, so yeah, I'm interested to see what she'll bring. But yeah, that's it, I think, right?
That's it, friends. Nice. Hopefully I'm going to watch something I like soon.
I know. Hate watching a lot of shit lately, jeez. Oh, God. Let us know what you guys are watching down in the comments on Patreon. And yeah, if you checked out any of these things, let us know what you think. How can we fix Martha's Vineyard? Give me your thoughts as well. What's going on?
Who would you like to see on the cast? Is it like a debutante ball? Like,
cast of
people? Who is it? Is it the Miss Morehouses? Because Noelle's doing great. She's like an Atlanta girl. Like, you know?
Very cute. How do we fix Martha's Vineyard? What do you think is going on with Summer House, Hamptons, and everybody? Gerard Carmichael, whatever his name is, what'd you think?
Did you know who that was? Are you into sucking toes? Do you do race play? Comment below.
No, I don't want to hear about it. God. Rate, review, subscribe. Join the Rose Garden on Patreon for more. Find us on Instagram and TikTok, and we'll see you guys next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.